Well, when you go back to the simple definition of the word, the main word, bereith, we see that it means, in the sense of cutting, a compact or an agreement. Because it has to do with something made by passing through pieces of flesh. Well, where do we get that from? You get that from Genesis 15. I'm not going to turn to it because you know the story very well. But in Genesis 15, Yahweh makes this covenant with Abraham, and they split. He has Abraham split an animal, actually a couple of different things, and the fire of Yahweh passes through in between the pieces there, you see. He divided them in the middle. And in this flaming torch, in verses 17 to 18, it says that a flaming torch passed between these pieces. Yahweh made a covenant with Abraham. The term translated as Yahweh made a covenant actually literally reads that Yahweh cut a covenant with Abraham. He cut a covenant with him. We also know from the text that the fire passed between the pieces of the sacrifice that Abram had laid out. Now, putting this all together, the concept of making a covenant, literally cutting a covenant, as symbolized by the cut pieces of the sacrifice and the parties to that covenant passing between the pieces. You had to walk between the pieces. It meant to convey the idea that if one of the parties to this agreement breaks the covenant, what happened to that sacrifice should be their end as well, you see. And sometimes salt would also be included in the sacrificial act, which results in the terminology, the salt of the covenant, in Leviticus 2 and elsewhere. The idea behind that is that of preservation. In other words, salt acts as a preservative. And adding salt to the sacrifice indicates that the covenant would be binding and preserved forever. So just to briefly summarize, cutting a covenant is an extremely powerful concept that means that anyone who enters into such an agreement should pay with their life should they violate the terms of that covenant. Right? Do you understand that? We don't do things like this nowadays. We don't take somebody's life if they violate a covenant generally. But when you make, for example, a marriage covenant, what makes us think, especially when we usually do that before Yahweh, what makes us think that we can break that covenant and do so with impunity? Well, there are all kinds of problems. Yes, there are problems. That's the real world, but you work on them. And take as long as you need to take on them. And then there are other implied covenants. You don't have an official covenant, but there are implied agreements between yourself if you bring children into the world. You got to raise those children. You have a commitment. When you bring a child into the world, you better be prepared for 20 years or more, and probably more, to do what you have to do to raise that child properly. In every way, physically, mentally, educationally, spiritually. You have just made a covenant. The very fact that you went and had a child, you just made a covenant. Because that child cannot care for him or herself. He or she depends on you. And you better be prepared to give that commitment for 20, 30 years. But we take these things entirely too lightly. I know the world does. And then we can go on to other materials. And in the New Testament, you have similar types of terms that mean similar types of things. But just to move on quickly here, I just have a few minutes left, and I'm going to skip over tons of stuff here. But take the time to go through the story of Joseph in Genesis 39, verses 1 to 12. Just get it down in your notes. Genesis 39, 1 to 12 shows that Joseph understood what covenant means. Even when pressed by Potiphar's wife to abandon the covenant of Yahweh and to commit adultery with her, he could have done it easily. And no one would have been wiser. But he didn't do it. And he was a young man. And he probably, you know, who knows if he was tempted to do it, but he didn't do it because he understood the importance of covenant. I would, however, like to very quickly turn to Job. Job chapter 31. And I want to read a little bit of this here. Because Job also understood, even in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his self-righteousness, he understood the concept of covenant. He said in Job 31, I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? He's made a covenant with his own eyes. In other words, he's going to exercise discipline to make sure that he doesn't lust after anyone. And what is the portion of Yahweh from above, or the heritage of the Almighty from on high? Is it not calamity to the unjust and disaster to those who work iniquity? Does he not see my ways and number all my steps? See, he has the right attitude. Maybe I can get away with it with men, but I'll never get away with it before Yahweh because he's the one that sees. And he's the one that I made that covenant to. You know, we, in our society, if you can get away with it, you do it. And that's not the right attitude. Job had the right attitude. He didn't say, if I can get away with it, I'll do it. He said, Yahweh sees. Because he knew, ultimately, that his covenant was towards Yahweh. If I have walked with falsehood, and my foot has hastened after deceit. And this sounds an awful lot when you go through this, like Psalm 15, doesn't it? If I have walked with falsehood, and my foot has hastened after deceit, Let him weigh me with accurate scales, and let Elohim know my integrity. If my step has turned from the way, or my heart followed my eyes, or if any spot has stuck to my hands, and that's the thing, my heart followed my eyes. That's why Yahshua said you got to be careful what you let through your eyes, because your eyes are a window to all kinds of things, both good and bad. And he said, if my heart followed my eyes, and the implication was that he did not allow his heart to follow his eyes. Because our eyes want everything. Because that's our human nature. We want, for us, we want to satisfy ourselves. But he won't let his heart do it, because the heart can be deceitful. Or if any spot has stuck to my hands, let me sow and another eat, and let my crops be uprooted. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or I have lurked at my neighbor's doorway, may my wife grind for another, and let others kneel down over her. For that would be a lustful crime. Moreover, it would be an iniquity punishable by judges. For it would be fire that consumes the Abaddon, the word Abaddon means destroyer, and would uproot all my increase. If I have despised the claim of my male or female slaves when they filed a complaint against me, what then could I do when Yahweh arises? And when he calls me to account, what will I answer him? In other words, I know better.